Amen. Galatians chapter 3, picking it up in verse number 10. We'll read all the way through 14. This is Paul to the Galatians. He says, "For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, 'Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them.'" Verse 11. "Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith, rather the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us." Can I get an amen? Amen. "For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree,' so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith." This is Paul to the Galatians. And what Paul is doing in chapter 3, excuse me, is he is correcting some bad theology that began to trickle into the Galatian church. Paul planted this church, and different individuals began to rise up within the community or from without, specifically the Judaizers, that began to question what we titled Galatians math. And Galatians math is Jesus plus nothing, come on, is enough, right? Equals enough. So the gospel is not Jesus plus. The gospel is Jesus only, right? So we don't add to the gospel. We don't pile more and more stuff onto Jesus, then you lose him. In fact, Jesus has always been enough, and by faith in Christ alone, we have everything we need for salvation and to mobilize us to do good works, but not for good works. So it's not Jesus plus our law keeping, not Jesus plus our works, rather Jesus plus nothing that we bring simply to the cross we cling, right? Equals enough. This is the gospel that we believe. This is the gospel that Paul preached. This is the gospel that Jesus died for and rose again. And this is what was being muddied in the church in Galatia. The Judaizers, which is a specific group of individuals, was coming into Galatia, and they were saying, no, it's Jesus plus circumcision. And others would say, no, it's Jesus plus Sabbath keeping correctly. No, it's Jesus plus the food dietary laws. And next thing you know, Paul is saying, are we just putting ourselves back under the law? And we're just adding Jesus to it? Jesus plus law keeping? And then? And so Paul is saying that would be foolish. He even goes back to Abraham to use Abraham as an example of this reality. Where in the book of Genesis, it says that God made a covenant with Abraham, and Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And so it wasn't Abraham did a bunch of good stuff, and then he was righteous. It just said he believed God. So it's our faith in God. It's our faith to believe Christ. Abraham was looking forward to a Savior. We look backwards to a Savior. There's nobody in the grave now. Amen? And through our faith, whether forward or backwards, we're saved. And out of our saving faith, we engage in life. And that's the gospel that we believe in. It's not Jesus plus, it's Jesus only. And this is what Paul is continuing to clarify, and he's doing that in verse 10. And he uses an interesting phrase here in verses 10 through 14 to help us understand it more clearly. I want to preach a message to you today that I'm simply titling, "The Curse Got Nothing on Me." Come on, say it with me. The curse got nothing on me. I don't know if that's like good grammar English, but that's how it came to my mind, all right? And I wrote it down. I said, you know what? The curse got nothing on me. In fact, I want you to do this because it's 21 days of prayer and feast. Look at the person next to you. Make some eye contact even and say, "The curse got nothing on me." Come on. The curse got nothing on me. Curse got nothing on me. You can't say I went to church and no one said nothing to me, all right? Listen, for those of us in Christ, the curse got nothing on you. And I'm going to explain a little bit why. Now, I think in order for us to fully not just understand the gospel, which means good news, but to appreciate the gospel. You have to understand the bad news to appreciate the good news. Right? Like if you go to the doctor and the doctor says, oh no, this is not good. This is actually really bad. You're going to die. And you're like, wait, what? And then he says, but I have a cure. And you go, oh, I appreciate that. Right? If you just go to the doctor and the doctor says, I got a cure, and you don't understand the bad news, you won't appreciate the good news. The reality of what we believe is that we are under a curse. The truth is that the scripture teaches us that humanity, all humanity, is under a curse. It's the curse of the sinful nature that our great ancestors, Adam and Eve, ushered into the earth. When God even made this declaration to Adam and Eve that if you eat from this specific tree, you will die. And through rebellious acts and temptation there with the serpent, sin entered into the world. And can I just tell you, we're still dealing with the effects of sin. Can I get an amen? Any fellow strugglers in the room that just have the battle of the flesh and sin at work? Does anybody ever feel like Paul in Romans 7 where he says, why do I keep doing the things I don't want to do? The spirit in me is craving one thing and yet I do the opposite, and who will deliver me from this body of sin and death? That's what Paul says. And then he reminds himself, but thanks be to God, through Christ, who died and rose, and therefore there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. This is the gospel. So there's this very real curse that we're dealing with. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law, which is talking about the book that Moses wrote, the books that reveal the law to us, Leviticus, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, and do them. So what Paul is writing to the Galatians is he's saying, be careful. If you put yourself under the book of the law, then all of a sudden you put yourself back under the curse that Jesus died for, which he would say, that'd be a foolish thing to do. This is a direct quotation from Deuteronomy chapter 27. Let's look at it, verse 26. Moses hears this instruction from the Lord. He says, cursed be anyone who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. And all the people shall say, come on, say it with me. Amen. Amen. You shouldn't have said that. I kind of tricked you with that one, all right? You don't want to say amen. I'm just saying. Just playing, right? That is teaching us, right, that the people of God, that God reveals the law to distinguish his people from every other people group. The law was not put in place to save people. The law was put in place so that the people of God would identify with God in their lifestyle, and they would distinguish themselves in their living from every other types of nations and people. God wanted to give them instruction for how to live holy. That's why God set the law in place. But the law was not in place so that people could somehow earn salvation. And this is what the Judaizers are doing in Galatia. They're saying, you got to put yourself under the law. And Paul is giving them instruction. As a Hebrew, Paul is saying, that's not the purpose of the law. The law exposes us that we're sinners. James, the brother of Jesus, he is dealing with some of the same type of critique. In James 2, verse 10, he says, for whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery but do murder, you become a transgressor of the law. And then you have Jesus, who in a way kind of colors in and gives commentary to what Moses meant here. Jesus takes it to a higher standard. He says, if you look at a person with hatred in your heart, you've murdered them. And then he says, if you look at another individual with lustful intent, you've already committed adultery. Jesus says, I'm looking at the heart. We have a sin problem. And so all of us have fallen short of the law. We've fallen short of God's glory. That in turn makes us all sinners, what makes us all under the curse. Romans 6 doesn't help us a ton. Romans 6 verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. We're under this curse. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ. He's our Lord. The curse in the old covenant is following those who have not put their faith in Christ. Jesus fulfilled it and paid for it, but there's a very real Old Testament reality found through the book of Deuteronomy that reminds us there's a curse that comes from not being obedient to what God has put in place. Let me just go ahead and remind you through some of these scriptures now. This is going to, this couldn't have been Moses' most popular sermon, all right? Deuteronomy chapter 28, let's look at verse 15 through 29. Now, this is going to be a lot of scriptures. Just stick with me. If you're ready, say ready. Here's what God communicated to Moses, and Moses communicated to the people. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God or be careful to do all his commandments and his statutes that I command you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall be you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the field, and cursed shall you be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, and your increase of your heads and the young your flock. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and frustration, and all that you undertake to do until you are destroyed and perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds because you have forsaken me. Jeez. The Lord will make the pestilence stick to you until he has consumed you off the land that you are entering to take possession of it. The Lord will strike you with wasting disease and with fever, inflammation, and fiery heat, and with drought, and with blight, and with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish, and the heavens over your head shall be bronze, and the earth under you shall be iron. The Lord will make the rain of your land powder. From heaven, dust shall come down on you until you are destroyed. Yikes. Let's keep going. The Lord will cause you. I don't want to, but I think we need to. Cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And you shall be a horror to all the kingdoms of the earth. And your dead body shall be food for all the birds of the air and for the beasts of the earth. And there shall be no one to frighten them away. The Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt and with tumors and scabs and itch, and which you cannot be healed. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of mind, and you shall grope at noonday as the blind grope in darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways, and you shall be only oppressed and robbed continually, and there shall be no one to help you. This is, Moses had to be like preaching that to all of the people of Israel. Like, I'm sorry, y'all. This is the word that he gave me. This is the curse. This is the curse that was set in place for those who were not obedient to the law that God had established for his people. We have all broken God's standard. We are all sinful in nature. We are all under the curse of sin, Jew and Gentile together. That is the bad news of our reality. But I'm grateful that we don't close the book right there. Amen? Because we find a scripture in Galatians chapter 3 that I would say is probably the most elite scripture in the New Testament. It is that important. It is a hallmark verse of the Bible. And one of the reasons why I love expositional preaching, which just means that we just go verse by verse through a text, and sometimes we'll break out of a specific series and we'll do something that is more topical, but we still have an expositional approach to whatever topic we're preaching on, which means that we're word-driven, not self-driven, is that sometimes when you're preaching through a book, we just preach the next verse. I don't know that I would have preached on this if it wasn't the next verse. But I'm grateful because it sets us up for Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. If you're ready, say ready. Come on, would you read this scripture off the screen with me? Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So you find that Paul now is quoting once again from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 21, verse 23, Paul reaches into the OT, and here's the scripture that he pulls from. His body shall not remain all night on the tree, but you shall bury him in the same day, for a hanged man is cursed by God. You shall not defile your land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance. Now, I don't know that Moses specifically knew as he wrote that, that would be referring to the coming Messiah. But Paul is able to look back and say that verse was pointing to Jesus who bore our curse. Listen to me, Walk Church. Let me see your eyes. Come on, online. Just tap in with me for a second. Focus for a second. Listen to me. All those curses we just read in Deuteronomy 28, the sorrow and sadness and grotesque feeling of all of those curses that are stored up against us for our disobedience. God takes all of the curses of Deuteronomy 28 and he imputes them all to Jesus on the cross. All the curse that was following us in our sin is what Jesus becomes on the cross. It says that Christ became a curse for us. Jesus didn't just die on the cross. He became a curse on the cross. The curse that we've all achieved through our disobedience. When you look at the cross of Christ, I hope you see Jesus become... What all is taking place when Jesus, the Son of God, who's been like this close with the Father... So much so that in the book of John, Jesus says, if you see me, you see the works of the Father. If you see the Father's works, it's through. Jesus was inseparable from the Father. And yet here on the cross, he says, Father, why have you forsaken me? What does he mean by that? I think there's a lot of different thought of what that could mean. I think one application of what Jesus means is he became a curse. And in that moment, all of the curses of sin and mankind was thrown on Christ. And Jesus said, I'll bear the curse. So that we, through his death and our faith in him, would no longer be cursed, but actually blessed. Come on, amen. I'm so grateful that Jesus is a redeemer. What a word to describe our Savior. He takes all of our mess, and what does he do? He redeems it. I'm in this stage of life where my kids like to go to the arcade. Come on, right? And there's something about going to an arcade, and you get all of those tickets. Never enough, right, to get the actual good prize. But you go up to the ticket counter, throw it all up on the counter. What do I got? And what does the person say? Would you like to redeem your tickets? And then you look up and hopefully you pick a few. You pick a whoopee cushion. Come on, anybody remember a whoopee cushion? You get two Skittles, right? A stuffed animal you don't need. Come on, but it's about the moment, right? Hey, listen. Hey, can I just tell you, in the gospel, we go up to the thing and we say, hey, Jesus, here's all that I got. A bunch of curse. A bunch of sin. Here's all my shortcomings. Here's all my mess. Here's all my struggle. Here's all the times where I rebelled. Here's all the times where I lied. Here's all the times that I failed. And I love that Jesus behind the counter says, I can redeem that. I can redeem that. I'm going to have to pay for it. I'm going to have to bear the curse, but in fact, I can redeem all of your shortcomings and mess, and on the other side of it, bless you. Oh, I love what Paul writes to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. He says it like this. He says that in him, we have redemption. Come on, amen. Through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. So we bring all of our shortcomings. Jesus bears our curse, dies our death, and in turn, we get redeemed, forgiven, and grace. This is the gospel that we believe in and are saved by. Paul is writing to the Galatians and he's saying, don't put yourself under the curse that Jesus died for. In fact, instead, worship him by faith for what he has done. This is what he is working through here in these verses. In fact, Paul draws upon an Old Testament writer, Habakkuk. Come on, everybody say Habakkuk. Habakkuk just has a short little verse in the Old Testament, the prophet Habakkuk. He writes in Habakkuk 2, verse 4, behold, his soul is puffed up. It's not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by faith. Come on, say that last part with me. But the righteous shall live by his faith. And so, again, I don't know that Habakkuk knew all of the profound prophetic implications of this verse, but Paul would quote this verse in Romans. The author of Hebrews would quote this verse as well. You find the righteous shall live by faith. Not only was this described about Abraham, he believed God. It was counted to him as righteousness. But Habakkuk says the righteous people are not just doing the right things. The righteous people are living by faith in the right God. Living by faith in the right Savior, the one who bore the curse for all of our sins. You know, in that Deuteronomy passage, you find all of the different curses that Jesus bore, but at the same time, it says that for the person who keeps the law, you find all of the blessings that follow law keeping. Let's just go ahead and read those two to be fair, all right? On the other side of Deuteronomy 28, right, verses 1 through 14, notice what the author says, and if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all of his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on the earth, of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. He's turning the curse on its head, right? Blessed shall you be, the fruit of your womb, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Come on, Kaylani, your ceramic bowl. Hey. Blessed shall be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your barns and in all that you undertake. And he will bless you in the land and the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a people holy to himself, as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, and all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. The Lord will make you abound in prosperity in the fruit of your womb and in the fruit of your livestock and in the fruit of your ground within the land that the Lord sworn to your fathers to give you. Verse 12, the Lord will open to you his good treasury, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its seasons and to bless all the work of your hands. And you'll lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. And you shall only go up and not down if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, being careful to do them. And if you do not turn aside from any of the words that I command you today, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. You see this big exchange here. Now, I wouldn't be accurately preaching if I just left this there. The truth is, this is not us. We haven't done that, but good news is, Jesus did. So what happens is, at the cross, come on. At the cross, you find all of our curses being planted on Jesus and all of his blessings being given to us. That's the good news, amen? We are blessed, not because of our perfect law keeping, but because of his. We are made right with God, and we can have the Deuteronomy blessings in our lives only because of our faith in the one who paid it all. Come on, amen? This is what we believe. This is why Paul closes Galatians 3, verse 14, with this statement. Look at verse 14. So that in Christ Jesus, come on, say it with me. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, even the non-Jews, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Come on, amen. Paul is writing to the Galatians and he's saying, you're cheapening what Jesus did on the cross by trying to go back to law keeping. In fact, we have the blessing in Christ, even the blessing that Abraham, when God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 12 and said, Abram, I'm going to bless you and all the nations in you are going to be blessed. And he believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. And then he established the old covenant, which he believed God for, the unilateral covenant, which we broke down last Sunday, right? And that was established. Now, Paul is saying, the blessing that was being referred to Abraham, we get to take part in that same blessing through our faith in Christ Jesus. So here's my three points. If I could just make them quick, I'll just say them. One, we're under a curse. Boo! We don't like that point. Two, Christ redeems us from the curse. Hey, come on. And three, his redemption brings blessing. His redemption brings, he's redeemed us. What's the main prize we get at the counter, at the arcade of life, and all of our brokenness we bring? What's the main blessing that we get? Can I just tell you? It's him. What does Paul say in verse 14? He says, and guess what? The greatest blessing of all is the Holy Spirit, which is just the commitment that God's going to be with you everywhere. The promised Holy Spirit, which is the guarantee of our salvation until we attain it in person, Ephesians 1:13, right? So the Holy Spirit, that's why the Holy Spirit's so hard on you, because he's committed to you. He's faithful to you. He loves you. He's with you. And he never condemns because we're already condemned. Right? I love what John chapter 3, verse 17 says. Not 16, 17. It says, for God sent his son into the world not to condemn the world, for the world was already under a curse, to save the world, to bear the curse, because cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And Jesus, the perfect Messiah, hung on the tree in our place. I want to close with one last question. One last question. At what point did the old covenant become the new covenant? At what point do we no longer live by the old Abrahamic and Mosaic covenants with God through the law? At what point does that, in fact, change for us here today, where we're now placed under a new covenant with same God, but a new covenant in place for our life and faith? I believe there's an answer to that. The answer, I believe, is found in Luke chapter 22, specifically verse 20. I want you to just read this moment with me. Jesus in the upper room with his disciples, cup in hand, bread in hand. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, come on, say it with me, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. What does Jesus do? He establishes a new covenant. Jesus knows that he is just a corner away from going to the cross. He's on his way. During the Passover season, he institutes the Lord's Supper and he says, now you'll no longer be bound by the old covenant law keeping, but by faith, the righteous shall live by faith and find their righteousness and blessing and cleansing and forgiveness in his blood. So Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper and he does so and reminds us, okay, this is the new covenant that we live in. One of the reasons why on the first Sunday of every month we take time to take communion. It's a big deal. And today the tables are open to all of us here today that believe Jesus as Lord. Today, if you haven't put your faith in Jesus, the invitation isn't to this, the invitation's to him. That maybe you should consider this sermon and say, okay, do I want to be under the curse for all my life, or do I want to put my faith in the one who paid for my curse and paid it all? and it killed Christ. But through the power of the Spirit at work in him, Jesus himself rose from the dead. We have a risen Savior. There's no body in the grave now. So there's no curse that has a hold on you if you've put your faith in him. And so I'm going to pray, and then we're going to respond in a song of worship. And during that song of worship, if you're a believer in Jesus, the communion elements are reminders that you're no longer under a curse, so don't go back to it. If you need to repent of sin, do it. If you need to just thank Jesus for the blood, do it. But before you partake in the communion elements, just examine your heart. If there's a relationship you need to make right, or if there's just something you just need to let go of, come up to the altar and let it go. Grab one of our pastors and say, can you just pray with me right now? I just need to get this off my heart. I want to confess something. But the communion elements remind you you're redeemed. The communion elements remind you you're forgiven. So I think that we should, you know, I think that we should walk to the table like this. Yes. I'm limping. I'm struggling, but yes. I have a Savior. This is just, listen, if you get too far away from this, you'll look in the mirror and say, you can save yourself. The flesh won't allow you, right? The flesh, the sinful nature will creep up and say all types of lies. This reminds you, no, you have a Savior. It's Christ, it's his blood, it's his body, and it's enough. And so I want to encourage you in this moment to respond. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message today. God, we thank you for Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14, and specifically verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Thank you for that, Jesus. We'll never be able to repay you. We'll never know how much it costs to see our sin upon that cross. But we have come here to worship. By faith we say yes. By faith we say we believe. And today if you're here or online and you have yet to put your faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life, right now I invite you to do it. If that's you right now and you say, you know what, I'm ready to put my full faith in Christ. Would you just lift your hand right now? Today you're saying, you know what? I'm ready. I see different people responding. God, I just pray for each person. Keep your hand up. And right now, would you just talk to Jesus? I want to give you just some words that you can pray in your own faith. Just say, Jesus, I recognize I'm a sinner under the curse. But right now, I believe you bore my curse on the cross. I receive you as my Savior and my Lord. I believe you died and rose in my place. And right now, I trust you as my Savior. I repent of my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I'm ready to walk by faith. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.